You're listening to This Is How We See It with your host, Eric Lee, the show where we say it like we see it.
Thanks for tuning in to the show. Welcome to it. My name is Eric Lee, and in the studio with me, back from her hiatus.
They tried to ban me, but I'm back.
It's Miss Ronnie V, and I've got Miss C in the studio with us.
Hello.
Okay, so first of all, y'all remember Don Rickles, right?
Yeah.
He died today.
I thought he'd been dead.
Don Rickles died today. He's a famous comedian. Years old, he was 90 years old.
Oh, really? And he was really today. Funny.
Don Rickles was really funny. He was very, I'm very, very funny. I'm really too young for him, too, but...
old shows you see and stuff.
Yeah.
He was really funny.
He was very funny. Mm-hmm. It just seems like people are just dropping
like flies. Yeah, people dying that ain't never died before.
Lord have mercy. Mr. Brown. It started with like Whitney Houston in 2012. Didn't it? And it just seems like people just kept dying. Did she die in 2011? No, it was 2012. Yeah. I think she was 2012 when she died. And it's just like people are just like dropping. Yeah. So our may Don Rickles rest in peace.
I think it kind of started with Michael Jackson because a lot
of
people
died. But he died in 05, though.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. Didn't he die in 05?
No, it was like 2009. Oh. 2009, something like what?
Well, whatever he was, but
and when did Tommy pass?
Tommy just passed about wasn't it last year? Yeah. I think Tommy died last year,
in December.
Yeah,
December of last year.
It's just crazy. Surgery.
You know, he didn't have a job. Well, I didn't know his real name was Tommy.
Yeah, it is. Tommy mm-hmm. Ford was his name. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and he was married with children.
Oh, I can believe that.
Yeah,
I can believe that. Just a shame. So the UNC Tar Heels are the NCAA champions once again.
Woo, 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 woo.
Yeah.
Yes. They beat Gonzaga 71-65. And what I didn't know is that they have won this championship 5 times.
Uh-huh. I've never heard of Gonzaga until now.
Oh, it's a college. It's like a private. I think it's a Catholic school, Gonzaga.
But they should be very proud they made it that far.
I know. And so congrats to them. And just the I heard today that the NCAA has decided to come back to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Because of House Bill 2 got replaced. So they decided to come back.
More money
talks.
Yeah.
I knew the Republicans were going to recant on that.
Yeah, money.
I knew.
They had to get that money back.
Last week, Ronnie V, we were saying, I did the research, and they said that North Carolina stood to lose $3 billion because of House Bill 2.
Yeah.
Because of House Bill 2. So I knew that they were going to be mad scrambling to do something about that bill. Mm-hmm. So African Americans and other minorities are arming themselves, fearing a continued surge in hate crimes since the election of Donald Trump in November. Now, this is according to NBC News. Mm-hmm. Firearm business owners said that minorities are flocking to gun stores 4 times more than before.
Mm. And it's all just because of Trump.
Well, the National African American Gun Association, which I never even knew they had one. I guess this is like the Black NRA. Said that their attendance has doubled since the election. Earl Curtis, the owner of Blue Ridge Arsenal in Chantilly, Virginia, said that minorities feel that races now feel encouraged to attack. And they do.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that and a lot of them feel like it's their duty because, you know, you've seen, you know, those Facebook videos mm-hmm. of how they running up on people and. And we did a show, I don't know if it was last week or week before last, about the waiter. Waiter comes, 2 Latino women going to a restaurant. The waiter comes to the table and said, before I can do anything for y'all, I need y'all to show me proof that y'all supposed to be here.
What?
Yeah, wear your green card and stuff. Yeah.
And she was serious.
Yes, he is a guy. He was serious about it. So these people are saying that, you know, minorities are feeling like, hey, y'all might try to come up.
What did they do when he said that?
It said that they asked for the manager. The manager fired him, of course. And the owner was like, you know, look, this does not represent me. Mm-hmm. He said, I ain't never told nobody anything like that before. So, but yeah, they feel encouraged now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center said that since Trump became president, there have been 701 hate-related incidents reported. He only been president for 2 months.
Yeah.
701, which includes school children chanting "build that wall" to their Hispanic peers. Remember, they were on...
The children.
Yeah, remember, I saw that on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were following in behind the Hispanic kids, white kids, yelling, "build that wall, build that wall." White power and swastikas painted on Jewish homes and public surfaces. You know all about that. Yeah. LGBT and Muslim Americans being verbally and physically attacked. I just saw a video earlier this week about this guy cut off this Arab person. I don't know, like, where are they from? But they were Arab. You ain't supposed to be, you know, I mean, just acting all crazy.
And how is Trump addressing this? Like, is he just not basically sweeping it under the rug? He's like, not. Oh, well.
But here's what I say. I understand Trump. You know, Trump came with all that rhetoric. He came with all that craziness. But you are responsible for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't have to go just because he said that stuff to get elected. You don't have to live like that. Exactly. But see, because they feel, well, the president is talking this way. You know, I can talk this way, too.
Yeah.
I can do this stuff, too.
So that means somebody thumped the president upside the head. they go know that they're not above the law also.
I saw this video yesterday. There was a group of guys in, I think it was IHOP somewhere. And some white guys was already there, start making racial slurs. And one of the white guys goes up to the black guy. You can't hear what they were saying, but you can tell that he's saying something. He got knocked out. He got knocked. I mean, people just, this guy was just, they were minding their business.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, feeling emboldened to go and say something and be racist, you know. What we say, this is not the America of the 50s and the 60s.
Exactly.
People aren't going for this kind of stuff anymore. Yeah. Now, y'all know I'm a gun owner. I'm a legal gun owner.
Mm-hmm.
I went about it the legal way, but okay, play if you want to.
I'm scared. I don't want no gun.
Why?
I don't know. It just makes me just think of bad things and... I don't know, just the whole one in my hand, I would be scared.
Like, really?
Mm-hmm. No, but let me go get mine and let you hold it.
So you guys remember that for a while there, the police were shooting people left and right. I mean, they were just, you know, killing folks for broken taillights.
Oh, it stopped? Have they stopped?
Well, I mean, you really haven't seen that. You haven't seen a lot. I mean, but it was like before, you couldn't cut on the news without hearing about a police officer shooting somebody. Well, the Obama administration, his DOJ, went into these troubled police forces and struck up like agreements with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what these agreements were, but they kind of went in and said, look, you know, y'all better quit all this nonsense. Well, our new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, head of the DOJ, called for a review of all the Obama agreements that Obama made with the people. Mm-hmm. Said that, well, we need to make sure that these agreements promote officer safety and morale while fighting violent crime. So in other words, if you can't shoot people, your morale is down.
Mm.
Tell me how that's going to bring morale down because you can't just shoot people at will. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's really like as if to say that if I can't shoot nobody, then I'm gonna have bad morale. That's crazy. So basically, what I think is going to happen is they're going to walk back all the agreements. And what we're going to see is a resurgence of police officers shooting people.
Yeah.
Because right now we don't hear, you know, I'm not saying it's not happening, but y'all remember for about a year it was like every time you cut the TV on, there was some type of, some type of stuff. So, you know.
All right, people going to start clapping back. Keep on.
Do you watch Shots Fired? The
yes.
new show Shots Fired.
Ooh, ain't it good? Yes.
Let me see. You ain't even seen. When did you see it? You didn't see it this last night. I saw it last night. You didn't see it last night.
Run in my room.
Oh, sure did. Uh-huh. I sure did.
Apologize. Oh, what a bell. Yeah. Ding, ding.
Whatever. Yeah. This is my bell. Don't touch my bell.
Ring. That's a good movie.
But that is a risk. Sanaa Lathan. She's a good actress anyway.
She is.
And she gets some very good roles,
she
too.
She does. And plus her daddy help her, too.
I don't think her daddy's helping her with this.
Who's her daddy?
Stan Lathan. He's a big television producer.
Oh, okay.
Very big.
And his name is on a lot of shows on.
No, his name is not on shows that she's on.
Yes, it is.
What other show has she been on?
Now, do you
on
think
TV?
I can call the name right quick?
I don't
quick.
Think you can because uh-huh. she ain't been on TV before. She's a movie actress. If I'm not mistaken, this is her first TV role. What other TV role has she had?
That ain't got nothing to do with nothing. What they got to do
because
with the price
Stan
of
Lathan
eggs?
Is a TV producer, not movies.
That man does whatever the money tells him to do.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. So, two high school boys have been arrested for sexually assaulting a fellow student in the stairwell.
What?
At Athens Drive High School.
One assaulted
not
her.
Your school.
The other one.
Well, it was
out.
Two that got arrested did, for.
Right. Didn't you attend Athens?
I was about to say, I graduated from Athens Drive High School. And let me tell you something. When I was going there, nothing like this happened.
Oh, that's been 50 years ago.
So the incident happened last Friday during the school day. During the school day.
On the stairwell.
In the stairwell. 16-year-old Taquan Jeffries is charged with second-degree forcible rape, first-degree forcible sex offense, and possession of marijuana. So he got weed. He had weed in school.
Yeah, he had a little bit of weed in his pocket.
18-year-old Ajima Bullock is charged with aiding and abetting a first-degree sex offense mm-hmm. and obstructing of justice. He was the lookout.
Uh-huh. He probably was making him do it.
He was the lookout.
But he said he and his mother said he was not.
Well, the girl told the police that Ajima, I hope that's how we pronounce his name, that he wasn't a part of it. Uh-huh. He actually told him, leave that girl alone. Come on, man. Yeah. Leave her alone.
So why did they charge him?
Because he was there. He didn't tell it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you were witness,
that's
you know,
right.
witness to a crime.
Aiden.
I mean, but this kind of stuff, I mean, it's just amazing. The stuff that's happening in these schools now.
Oh, speaking of schools, let me tell you what happened with my young 12-year-old. So she comes home a couple of weeks ago, and she's telling me that a little girl approached her and asked her, did she want to be jumped in a gang?
If she wants to be
jumped
in a gang?
In a gang.
That means they beat you up.
Exactly. So, you know, my daughter come home and tell me, you know, what's going on. Because it was another little girl that they supposedly had did in the bathroom. So I told my daughter to go to school, report it to the principal. You know, even though it didn't happen to her, it happened to somebody. Or it was supposed to be happening to somebody. So now the little girl wants to fight my daughter because she don't want to be a part of it. So, you know, I had to go to school and turn it out. This little girl starts all types of fights. She gets kicked out of school every week. She's in ISS every day.
What school is this?
This is Carnage Middle School.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So I'm sitting in there.
And the mother.
Worried about my child's safety, you know, because my daughter calling me, talking about the mother was coming. She heard the mother on the phone saying that she was going to come and fight my daughter.
The mother?
Yes.
The mother of the little girl is coming to fight your 12-year-old daughter.
Because she was telling her, you better fight her. You better fight her. Or I'm coming up there. So, you know, of course, I walked off my job. The little girl's mother has caused so much chaos at the school, she's not even allowed on school campus at all. So I'm asking them, why is this little girl still allowed to be
exactly,
in school?
Exactly.
We've done everything that we can. I said, let me tell you this. My daughter's going to protect herself by any means necessary. It was her and another little girl coming to jump my daughter. And my daughter, you know, went to a teacher, and then that's when the teacher was like, her
calling
me.
The mother is coming to jump a 12-year-old girl.
And is not allowed on school because property
she's,
at
she's
all.
Because she's wrecked it. She's wrecked the school.
So why is your daughter still there?
See?
And you know what they told me? Being that she has not physically done anything to my daughter, it's nothing they can do. I said, so let me tell you this. Anybody put their hands on my daughter, you ain't got to worry about this mother not being allowed on this campus. You're going to have to worry about me. And I'm going to press charges. Like, so, you know, and then you know what the principal said? It'll be all right. You know, next week it'll be another little girl. I said, so this is something that you guys look forward to. You guys wait for her to leave one little girl alone and go to the next one.
Another one.
And you guys are aware of it and doing nothing about it.
We got to take our first break. We'll be right back in just a moment. You're listening to This Is How We See It.
Crashes all around, trying to wear me down, but I hold tight to what I know is right. Still can hear the way Mama used to say, never, no, never let your spirit bend, never, never give in to the end, not carry on. When the valley's deep, I'll be strong.
Thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, Ronnie V was telling us about this little girl in junior high school in a gang. So first of all, you got gangs.
Exactly.
So she wanted to jump your daughter in, meaning that's when they beat you up mm-hmm. to initiate you. Mm-hmm. Your daughter refused. So the mother of the little girl called and said, well, if you don't beat her up, I'll be there to help you beat her
up. Exactly.
And so evidently the mother must have been in a gang.
Had to be.
Yeah.
But this is what I don't understand. So with them saying that she has not physically done anything to my daughter, so basically they're waiting on something to happen.
Communicating a threat. That's against the law.
So I said, so what about communicating a threat? I emailed the superintendent. I said, someone better call me within 24 hours or it will be a lawsuit on the school.
Exactly.
What they told me was, again, being that she has not physically done anything, this little girl has gotten in a fight on the school bus, have got kicked off the school bus. She, like I said, she gets sent home every day where they have to walk the little girl on the other side of the street because the mother can't come on campus, so they have to walk her to even give her to the mother. And they're waiting on, they're looking at me to wait on something to happen. Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be the next little girl next week.
It'll be the next little girl.
And I even explained. Are you serious? I even told the superintendent that this is what the principal said. So basically it's like, you know, me being a parent, okay, even if it's not on my daughter, it's going to be on somebody else's daughter.
Somebody's
and
child is in danger.
And you guys are aware of it. It's repetitive.
And they're liable.
Exactly.
You're going to be, if you don't get this little girl out of school, you're going to be liable.
Because she actually had, it was her and another little girl that was walking towards my daughter to jump her. My daughter didn't know. She was just walking down the hall. So one of my daughter's friends came up to her and was like, you know, two girls' names are on their way to jump you, but I'm not going to let them do it. So when I'm explaining to the principal, because she asked my daughter, how did you find out? So she was like, my friend came up to me and told me, well, why would she come and tell you? So, you know, I went from 0 to 1,000 in 2 seconds. I said, so you're sitting here worried about why my daughter knew or why somebody told her instead of worrying about her safety, because if she wouldn't have known, then something would have happened to my daughter.
Exactly.
Well, you know how people, you know, you take a bone, you give a dog a bone, they take it back to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But
they bring a bone,
this
they
is
a bone.
Her friend, and you're worried about the wrong thing. You're worrying about how she know this and who heard and who told this and that. It shouldn't matter.
What in the
world? So, yes, I call my daughter every day. I told her she takes her cell phone to school because at one point I was not allowing her to take her cell phone because I know you don't supposed to have it in
school.
What
about when they said they were going to do something to your daughter if she hit back?
Oh, so I said, so if two girls jump on my daughter and she defends herself, well, she will get in trouble also.
Okay, well.
Because she's defending herself. So, you know what I told my daughter? I said, I want you to pick up the first thing you see.
Exactly.
Preferably a lock.
Exactly. Carry it.
Yeah.
Carry it with you in your
pocket.
And
if you feel threatened anyway, if you got to defend yourself, you take that lock and you go to swinging. But I'm telling you, I hate it. If something happens to my daughter, I hate it for that school.
Yes.
I promise you, I hate it for the school.
And actually, you would probably win your case.
Yeah, because I have it in emails and everything.
You would probably win your case. And we've talked about this on other shows. These teachers, they don't care. Half of them are scared of the children.
When I emailed when we left, because it was early that morning, I called later on to talk to my daughter. A teacher had called me, and she was like, I heard, this is the teacher. I heard about the incident. So I was like, listen, you know, I'm telling her, I said, I've emailed the superintendent. I said, I'm not going to allow this to happen. She said, please, please stay on it. She said, because as teachers, we have no voice. But as a parent, she's telling me, she said, this girl, and I know they ain't supposed to be telling me specific things.
Yeah, but she's tired of her.
Yeah,
That's what's going on.
Somebody got to do something. She said, every day this girl is causing havoc in this school, and nobody is doing nothing about it. She said, please stay on it. And that's a shame when a teacher is begging me to do something that they should be able to do in school.
This is crazy, Ronnie V. I mean, this is and this is what I'm talking about these schools now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, first of all, like I said before, the teachers are mad because they ain't, you know, getting paid what they should do.
Exactly.
So they're kind of really like, whatever, you know, whatever's whatever.
Exactly.
But then you have a principal. So how do you tell a parent, oh, but don't worry about it because next week she'll be beating up another child?
Exactly.
What kind of stuff is that to say?
And then, you know, she kept stressing. She was like, well, you know, when we was trying to talk to your daughter, she was so hype and she was instigating the situation. At this point, my daughter was saying, my mama said, if somebody put their hands on me, to fight back.
Exactly.
So my daughter wasn't backing down from the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be a reason why the girl haven't messed with her. Mm-hmm. Everybody else have cowered away from her, mm-hmm. or been scared of her.
Well, that's a
bully. But not mine.
See, that's a bully. And my grandmother used to always say, if you get that ringleader, if you bust that ringleader in the head, all the rest.
Exactly.
All the rest of them are going to bow out.
Because I ask her
every
day. She
said, you hit that head, the body will fall.
Yes, I ask her every day. And the girls have not said anything to her or nothing. But they was, you know, well, she was, we could not calm her. We couldn't even understand what she was saying. Okay, what is your point?
I'd be mad too.
What is your point? And I said, and then my daughter said, you know, Mom, I was trying to call you, and because there was a principal and a teacher in there. She said, I was trying to call you, but he wouldn't let me. When she said that, the teacher started talking so fast, I shut that up real quick. I said, let me tell you something. If something would have happened to my daughter and she's asking you to call me and you're telling her no, I told my daughter, I said, call me and we'll deal with the consequences later.
You know what, Ronnie V? I might would have called a lawyer, even though it didn't go down. I think I might would have called a lawyer.
I think I would have called the police
right.
file charges.
Probably.
I would have done that right there
for
on
communicating
campus.
Threats and stuff.
Exactly, yeah, especially the mother, the grown woman.
Because she said the little girl was on the speakerphone. She was on the phone with her mom. That's how my daughter heard her saying, you better fight her. You better fight her. I'm coming up there.
All this because she doesn't want to join your little gang.
Exactly.
A gang in junior high.
And I asked her,
school.
I said, do you know this girl? She said, I don't know her, like, as far as hanging out.
But I know she
her.
Goes to my
school.
Yeah,
she goes to my school. I said, well, what will make her ask you of all people? But obviously they've asked other people or they've done it
well,
to other people.
That's what they do. It's what gangs do.
Okay, well, they got the right one dealing with mine. I promise you that.
My God in heaven. That's scary.
Well, what's about your daughter that make them want her in their gang?
Well, let me introduce you, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Bassey just came in the studio. So thanks for joining us, Miss Bassey.
Thank you for inviting me in.
All right, go on. What's your question?
They want her in the gang. There is something about her that make them want her in the gang. Now, what did they pick? Why did they pick her to be in the gang?
Well, it's only one little girl that's doing the recruiting. And I think with them wanting to fight her, I think it was the fact of rejection.
But they want her in the game. Now, why? Is it something
because
about
I
her?
Think the that they see that she stands up for herself,
probably.
You know, and they need somebody like that.
Probably.
You know, that's what that is.
But my daughter, like, if anything, like, she's the life of the party. She don't, like, cause problems and try to fight. Like, I don't even think she ever been in a fight ever in her life. And that's what the principal was saying about her. You know, she's like a leader. Like, everybody kind of look, and she's only in the sixth grade, but she's very outspoken. She'll help anybody. You know, she's not shy. So, you know, maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay.
But she knows right from wrong. I tell you that.
I don't know, but parents, I will encourage you, get involved with your kids in these schools and listen to your kids in these schools. You know, some parents, you know, a lot of parents working 2 and 3 jobs to try to make ends meet, you know, or some of them just don't care.
Well, I tell you what, when I was in school, it wasn't nothing for me to turn around and see my mama standing in the doorway with her hands on her hips. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even know she was coming.
Wow. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, these schools, and especially, you know, African-American children, especially Black children, you know, because if a teacher has in their mind that you're like a lost cause, they'll kick you to the side.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. You being an outcast.
They don't care whether you do your work or not. And, they won't spend no time with
you. And if they see that your parents don't care, if they know that they can just say anything and do anything and the parent's not going to show up, they will cast that child aside.
Yeah. But what have you done as a parent that you can't even come on your child's campus?
She must have probably, she might have been threatening kids. Then. Yeah. And she probably 21.
Yeah. And this is my thing. If the parents is not allowed, the child shouldn't be either.
Well, that's true.
So how you going to have PTA? Because I was like, you know, before I knew the severity of everything, I was like, you know, we all four need to sit down. Me, her parents, you know, my child. Oh, she's not allowed on campus.
So you already know that this little girl and her mother is a problem.
Exactly.
You already know that this is a problem. And you keep the little girl on, even though she gets in fights every day. It's like they just don't care.
Do you know that they have a school for troublemakers?
Yes, I do.
It's called
Reform School.
No, it's called Redirect.
It used to be called Reform School.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Reform School is different. Reform School is just like you
being trouble, a child.
Yeah,
trouble.
Redirect is a regular school. They go to school every day and they get out and go home every day. But it's a school where people will deal with these attitudes and trouble kids. It's in Washington Terrace.
Yeah,
it's called
Mary E. Phillips.
That's what it's still called, Mary E. Phillips. And that school is for, it's called Redirect. It's for children, trouble kids.
Not actually trouble kids, because like young teenage parents, when you get pregnant, they go there.
Yeah.
And so people with issues, children with issues, go to this school.
Yeah. Reform school was like children that gotten in trouble with the law.
Yeah, that's reform.
Things like that.
Oh, okay.
Well, reform school used to be when you didn't go to school, they would come and get you, and that's where you lived until you was 16.
I wouldn't know about that.
Because the head of that, his name, we called him Bulldog Young. You remember him?
No, that was
he was the man that used to.
Whatever, the one was before her time.
No, it won't. This was doing. This was if you didn't go to school, he would come and get you. His name was Bulldog Young.
Well, truancy. Truancy officer.
Yeah, he was a truancy. That's what he was. But this was back then, this time, this was the man that would come and get you.
Well, I'm just glad now in schools that teachers can't powder you and stuff like that. Because I'm trying to tell you, I'd be in jail.
There's some schools that will still knock your head off.
It is against the law for them to touch your child.
It depends on what school.
No, ma'am, this is a federal law.
I don't know about that.
I do know.
You can't even whoop your kids now, let alone anything else.
I don't know what school allowing teachers to paddle kids.
None of them. They can't.
They're not, but, you know, the kids are taking well advantage of that, and they're just being totally ridiculous and doing and saying anything to teachers now, because they know teachers cannot discipline them to that
point. And parents. And they're doing it to parents.
Yes. They used to say parents sending their children to school for the teachers to raise them.
Yes.
But you know what?
A lot of parents are doing that,
though. Yeah, but you know what?
But they can't do it now.
There's a lot of teachers scared of these children, and
there's
a lot
of
parents scared of their kids.
That is true,
because the kids will tell them quickly, I'll call the police if
that's
you hit me.
That's right. I will be right back in just a moment. Stay right with us.
Crashes all around, trying to wear me down, but I hold tight to what I know is right. Still can hear the way Mama used to say, never, no, never let your spirit bend, never, never give in to them, not carry on. When the valley is deep, I'll be strong. With the
thanks for coming back with us in the studio with Ronnie V, Miss C, and Miss Bassey. The mother of a 16-year-old female high school student is furious. Her daughter went on a field trip to a clinic as part of a sex education seminar. Okay. The mother found out that while the daughter was there, she got a birth control implant. Mm-hmm. And the mother didn't know it. So the mother is really upset about this.
And should be.
Well, she's saying that her parental rights were violated. Okay. But here's the thing. Federal guidelines allow for children as young as 12 to receive birth control without parental consent.
When did that come?
It's been like that for years.
They call it Title X.
Yes. And if you take your child to the doctor and they are getting a physical, the doctor will ask that child, do you want your parent in here? If the child say no, you got to go.
The principal of the school says that he got the mother's permission to go to the clinic.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But the mother is saying, I didn't, you know, give nobody no permission for her to get a birth control implant.
Yeah, well, she didn't.
But again, what would y'all do in that situation?
Depends on if she's being sexually active.
Well, I'm assuming she is.
Yeah,
if she's got a birth control implant.
Well, at that point,
I'm pretty sure.
Can just sit down and have a conversation at that point. What can you do? If she don't get on birth control and she's sexually active, because obviously she is, then you got to worry about babies.
That's true, too.
At this point, what's done is done. Now you need to sit down and have a mother-daughter conversation.
Right. Okay, but my thing is, the girl was 16 years old. You gave permission. Now, she had to have permission to go on this field trip. Why do she have to have permission to go on a field trip, but she don't have to have permission to get any type of birth control? That's ridiculous to me.
Well, they can't take her off campus without parental consent. So okay, they took a bus.
Right, I understand that. I understand that. But you need my permission to take her off campus.
But
you don't need my permission.
That is correct.
For her to have.
According to Title X, they do not. This girl, this 16-year-old girl, does not need anybody's consent to get this birth control.
Well, my thing is, if she had asked, Mama, mm-hmm, can I get a birth control implant?
Right.
What would your answer would have been?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Well, 16, I feel like you should have been had it.
That's
16.
What I'm asking.
I can see if she was 11 or 12 or 13
years old.
All 16-year-olds
aren't sexually active.
No.
Let me tell you,
obviously they are. But this is the thing. You're saying, what would have happened? You didn't give me a chance. You didn't give me a chance to find out what happened.
Well, that's the mother saying. The mother is saying that she would have liked to have known. But again, law.
How long has this law been in effect? Because I don't know how long my mom been keeping secrets.
I don't know.
Ever since you were little.
So you didn't have to be with me all these times?
They asked you.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did. Mm-mm. Yeah, they asked you. And you said, I want my mommy in here.
That was a well-kept secret.
Oh, no. They asked.
Well, you know what? As a parent, and this is what, and I saw this on The View, by the way. So, you know, some of the ladies were saying they'd be furious, but some of them were saying, hey, look, like Whoopi, you know, Whoopi's very liberal anyway. Yeah, so she was like, look. Wouldn't you be glad that the girl is on birth control so she's not bringing a baby in your
house?
But
let me tell you something. Birth control is not just for birth control. Hmm. Birth control pills or birth control is not just only to stop having babies.
Correct.
Birth control does a lot for a woman's body.
Especially
they
like
do
the implants. Yeah. And stuff.
It regulates periods.
Yes, that's
it does
true.
That. Some birth control is for your blood pressure. It does
a whole lot of symptoms.
Okay,
behind.
But there are other medications that can do that. You don't necessarily have to be on birth control to regulate blood pressure.
Okay, I know that, but I'm telling you, birth control is not just only for birth control.
Yes, but what I'm saying is, isn't that the primary reason for birth control is to not get pregnant?
It has always been the primary reason.
Well, no.
But it can do other stuff.
Yeah, because children that are not sexually active, some of them have irregular periods. Mm-hmm. And so they're put on birth control for that, not to keep from having babies, but they're put on birth control for that particular reason of regulating your period.
Well, like
that seems weird to me.
Like some girls.
Well, you're a man.
But I'm just saying, girls, you don't have any other medication that can regulate a period besides birth control?
Mm-mm. No. Just like some
sexually encounterment sometimes regulates it.
I've never heard of that.
I mean, but anyway,
I have. You remember Christine used to cousin of ours used to have severe problems with it, and the doctor told her to
she had to have a baby.
I mean, you know, to start having encounterment with
sexual activities,
and she just plunged right into it.
I bet she did plunge right into it.
Well, and she got so regulated that a baby came forth.
Yeah, I have a couple of cousins that had headaches real bad.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that the doctor prescribed sexual activity?
Yeah, yes. Because she was so
irregular. I believe she just told y'all that.
No, she was. I know for a fact. We experienced her having those irregular times because we were teenagers.
Yeah.
And so after when she got 18 and met that ungone killing person.
Ongoing.
So it regulated her cycle.
Sex
regulated her cycle.
Yes, because it not only protruding, it brought forth other things. The orgasms and the other things made it right.
Oh, okay. Ronnie B is mortified.
I had a cousin that was like that, that kept having severe headaches. And she was about 17, 18 years old, and I went with her mom to take her to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And the doctor told her that she's going to have to have sex, and she's going to have an orgasm.
Hmm. Well, that is interesting. I would have hoped that my child would have been able to come to me, you know, and say, hey, you know, look, you know, but you know, all parents aren't like that though.
Yes,
my kids
all,
came
all
to me.
No,
we're not going to do that. Only one child came to you, and that was me. Your other two oldest did not come to you, but I was very forthcoming, very open, because you established that relationship for us to be able to come to you. They just didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
They were sneaky. No,
the older one didn't, but the you
snitched,
and
but after
did
I snitched,
the older one have a birth control? Did the older one come to you to ask for birth control?
All of the girls.
Well, what did
was
she come
no.
to you and say?
Well, she's saying the older one didn't come at all.
The older one, because I was taking them, you know, to have their physical and stuff every year and stuff. And when that thing passed about the child could say if they wanted the parent in or not, the older one is the one that said, no, she need to go.
Oh,
which is odd, because if you fostered an environment of openness, it would be odd that she would, you know.
Well, I think the reason why was because she had started having sex,
okay,
and did not want me to know.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, if you had a openness, you know,
she had one. I mean, she always talked to us about not being able, not being scared to come to her about anything. And, you know, being open to have any type of conversation.
And any question that was asked, sneaky, I answer.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, but some parents are kind of prudish when it comes to that. Some people think that if we talk about it, I'm giving you permission to do it.
Right.
And that's not necessarily true. I'm just equipping you.
Right.
You know, I don't want you to do it, but if you're going to do it, hey, this is how you need to, you know.
Right. And you don't
want
to hear the wrong thing from somebody else.
That's why I told everything.
Exactly. Okay, here's another Dear Ask Amy. Y'all know I love my Ask Amy stories. Tanae is not here. She likes to ask Amy's too. So this one's called Deleted Pictures Raises Wife's Concern. So a person wrote in, Dear Amy, I haven't been able to sleep for a couple of nights because I've been thinking about something I witnessed. 3 days ago, when I asked my husband if I could see a video he shot on his phone, his face went white. He left the room, and I could tell he was deleting something before he showed me the video. I could see over his shoulder that what he was deleting was a photo of him with a female coworker from an event the night before. I have never had trust issues with him during our 23 years of marriage. How would you recommend I begin the conversation? Any thoughts? Signed, Sleepless.
Let me see what you tried to erase.
What would y'all have done? Because apparently she didn't confront him. Mm-hmm. That's what I found odd. Mm-hmm. I find odd that she did not confront him when it happened.
So it was an incident went on and she didn't attend
his work thing. He must have took pictures with some lady at work. And when she asked to see a video on his phone, he must have realized, oh, my God, I have this picture on my phone. And he ran into the other room and deleted it,
which could have been innocent. But just thinking, well, she might not.
Being so innocent.
Yeah.
When you're in a relationship.
Maybe she shouldn't have never asked to see it. It was on his phone.
She wanted to see something else.
Yeah. She wanted to see something else. She wanted to see a video he had shot earlier. But when she asked him, his face went white because he knew he had this picture. And it must have been inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because if you have to go delete it. Mm-hmm. Or what about this? What if the wife is just crazy?
You know what?
Insanely jealous.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but you know what? I don't see why a couple together, and it's supposed to be you and them together, I don't see why if I do put my phone down, I don't see why it shouldn't be a reason that you can't pick up my phone.
I do.
You know what kind of secret do you supposed to have?
But if you trust me, why you gotta look at my phone?
No, but I mean, suppose you just like the wife, she wanted to see what you know about the event. She knew. How did she find out that he had taped it? He had to tell her that she wasn't there. So he had to let her know that I taped it.
Well, she should have waited until he wanted to show it to her.
Well, if it was something she didn't have any business seeing, he shouldn't have told her that he had taped it.
Well, who said that he told her? Maybe a coworker told her. I don't think that my mate should pick up my phone and go through my phone.
I don't either.
I'm not saying go through your phone. I didn't say go through your phone.
Don't even pick it up, not unless I ask you to hand it to me. And if it's ringing or whatever, I said, boo-boo, hand me my phone.
But see, I don't do that. Saying I don't see a reason why you shouldn't be, especially man and wife. What reason?
So what is
don't even look down at it. Just hand it to me.
Well, you know what? I think it depends on the couple. Okay. I think that if the couple say, look, I ain't got nothing to hide, my phone ring, pick it up, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Or if that's your thing, exactly. Then do it. Yeah. But I don't think a lot of couples are
like
that.
My phone be down sometime and it rings, say your phone ring, and I say, who is it? I don't know, I'm looking at, but I'm asking you, who is it? Mm-hmm. You know, look at it. I don't have a problem.
That's when you deal with somebody that don't want you to look at theirs. So they don't want to create a situation where, just because you told me to pick up mine don't mean I'm going to take
something ain't right in paradise to me.
You might not have nothing to hide, but I just don't like the fact that you pick up my phone, going through my phone like that. I don't have anything to hide, but I just don't appreciate it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying go through it.
We understand your point of view.
I ain't got no business going through nobody's mess, and you ain't got no business going through mine. Yeah. But if you ask me, let me see your phone.
If I tell you answer my phone, then answer.
Yeah.
You know, or if I tell you, look, the picture that you want to see or the video is on the phone, going and I'm busy going and do
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
But in this case, he had something to hide.
Yeah. And the reason why she probably didn't confront him, if it's never been any issues in their marriage. And then for this, she was probably was shocked. Like,
yes, I think so.
At that moment, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What could be on his phone
after
all these years?
But see, another thing, he went in another room, turned his back.
See, I'd hit him in the back of the head.
To delete the thing. That's what I was finna say. His head was in view. She had to be close to see that he was deleting it.
We gotta take another break. We'll be back in a moment.
Crashes all around, trying to wear me down, but I hold tight to what I know is right. Still can hear the way Mama used to say, never, no, never let your spirit bend, never, never give in to the end, I carry on. When the valley is deep, I'll be strong, with the mighty love to carry on. Never sleep till a new day dawns.
We are back. Thanks for coming back with us. Before we went to break, we were talking about this Dear Amy or Ask Amy story about the wife who asked her husband to show her something on his phone. He runs into the next room and deletes a picture that he does not want her to see. And so, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, we were talking about, you know, nobody should be going through anybody's phone, which is probably why she asked in the first place, probably, because they probably don't have that kind of, you know, relationship where you just pick up each other's phones. But you were saying, Ronnie B, interesting enough, and I thought about something. You said things are not always what they seem.
Exactly. A picture can, like, you know, a picture is a snapshot in that moment. It stands still when you take it. So the picture may look one way, but in the moment, it wasn't the way it is. That's just like, say if I'm falling and somebody catch me, a man catch me, and somebody just happened to take a picture.
Right. It might look like you felt right. You hugged up.
But I was actually falling in that picture, and he just happened to catch me.
That's a good point. You know? That's a good point. And maybe, like Ms. Bassie, what we were saying was that maybe she's a jealous wife. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, she's really sensitive.
Or has had reason to believe.
Well, she said she said in the article that she never had a reason to distrust him. Right. And they've been married for 23 years.
Well, you know what I feel? Being that they've never had issues, he's never given her reasons, she's never given him reasons, just sit down and have a conversation at this point, because you've never had problems before, and it could be just now you can't sleep. He over there snugged up and snoring, and you got to go to work, and you can't get no rest now.
That's true.
Talk about it.
Okay, well, I wonder what happened after he deleted it. Did he hand the phone to her?
I don't know. She doesn't say.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Did he hand it to her then?
He probably
and say,
did,
okay,
because it's deleted
it
now.
I don't know. I don't, you know, I see two sides to it. Because, first of all, if you don't have anything to hide, even if you took a picture with a coworker, why delete it?
Yeah.
There must have been something inappropriate about the picture.
In front of her, because you should have been deleted if it was something that you thought that she probably wouldn't, you know, take too kindly to. So to delete it in my face, that's just like if me and my boyfriend or husband is sitting side by side and his phone is constantly ringing, he chooses not to answer. In my head, I'm like, why you answering your phone? It may be in his head, hey, this is our quality time. I don't care who's on the phone.
Yeah.
Just a misunderstanding. Like, I'm mad. I'm mad.
That's true.
But we watching a movie, and he wants to dedicate this time to me because this is our date night.
Right.
But I'm over here mad now because he ain't answering the
phone.
Or
I don't want to talk to this person.
Exactly. Yeah.
It could be that.
Because the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth is,
oh, why you ain't answering your phone?
Why you can't answer phone in front of me?
And you know what? Now, this has really happened to me because I have a friend, acquaintance, and sometimes when we are sitting talking, and his phone ring, and he might pick it up and look at it and put it down, and I'm like, you might do me the same way.
Exactly.
I might call you.
Well, see, that's the first thing you think.
Yeah, and I said, I might call you, and you send someone, you look and see it's me and put it down.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, and then one day I just had the audacity to ask him, why you didn't answer that phone? He said, I don't want to answer because I'm not going to work tonight. I ain't working on nobody's car tonight.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, is that the reason why you didn't answer it? I said, I must say this because if I don't, I will burst. Have you done me like that before?
That's my thing with this lady. I would have nipped it in the bud right there.
Yeah,
I would have said, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why do you need to go into the next room to delete a picture?
Husband.
Really?
Especially the husband.
Yeah, I'm not a wife, but I had to nip it. I want to know.
And not even really in a defensive manner. Just, you know, sometimes it ain't. What you say is how you say it.
True.
Yeah.
So I just felt like she shouldn't have just obviously not slept on it because she ain't been sleeping.
Well,
so.
See, that's the thing.
I wasn't able to sleep. I just had to know.
See, that's the thing. You know, and again, it's like we're talking about holding grudges. Mm-hmm. That person is gone on.
Having
fun. Like, they ain't even thinking about you. Mm-hmm. And you here with all this stress.
All the air in your jaws.
But let me tell
you. That's why I said forgiveness is for you.
That's
not
true.
For the other person. It's for you.
And let me tell you this. While he's sleeping peacefully and I'm sleepless, I'd have tapped that head. And then I would have rolled over like I was asleep. If I ain't sleeping, you ain't sleeping.
That is true.
That's revenge.
And look, then you laying in the bed, can't sleep, and he might smile or something in his dream. Oh, no. I'm going to jail.
Okay, so y'all remember the hit TV show Will and Grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, I used to love that
show. I still do.
It's been 11 years since this show been off the air.
Yeah, but it's
still coming on.
Well, it's coming back to TV.
Oh, right.
The new show, they are
with the same people
to TV.
They must be reruns.
And I know this is real. This is new.
See, we've been looking at reruns. You're saying the new show is coming on.
Okay.
Jack, Will, Grace, and Karen are coming back to NBC for 10 all new episodes.
All right.
Now, I just got to tell y'all, Will and Grace was one of the funniest shows ever on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack himself was hilarious.
Was that the policeman Jack, the big guy?
No, Jack was
the little friend.
Right, the little skinny one that always, you know, talk like this. They won 16 Emmys. That's a lot of Emmys for one show.
Yeah.
But it's not coming on until next year. So it's not going to happen in 2017.
Well,
but
still look at the reruns because they were on today. I saw them.
And he was wrong for that.
So Honey Boo Boo's Mama June, y'all remember Mama June, right?
Yeah.
She has a new show called Mama June From Not to Hot.
Mm-hmm.
The show is about all the weight she's lost.
Mm-hmm.
At her heaviest, she was 460 pounds. Okay, she said that her life was in danger and she had to lose the weight.
Yeah.
Now, here's how she did it. She didn't do it just like normal, you know,
like you and I
need to lose some weight. Mm-hmm. She had a gastric sleeve surgery.
Mm-hmm. That's for her arms.
Gastric sleeve is for your stomach.
Okay, but she said she got all that loose.
She got. Can I finish, Miss C, telling you what she
Don't
how she did
me
it?
Out.
She had a tummy tuck. She had a breast lift.
Lifting things?
And she had skin removal surgery on her arms and neck. That gastric sleeve, I think they turned your stomach into like a little bitty sleeve. And the least you eat fills you up. I think that's what the gastric sleeve is. Mm-hmm. That's what they did to her. And she has lost. I mean, if y'all see her now, I didn't even recognize her.
I recognize she still got that same face.
Well, but she doesn't look the same. But she doesn't, you know, look the same anymore.
She looked like the Whale King.
I think she looks way better because before, she looked like a sow. Oh, Lord forgive me. But she did.
Okay. So I have questions for you guys. This is something that you guys. We haven't talked about it previous, so I want to kind of put y'all on the spot about this because me and a friend was on the phone last night talking about it. So the new show, Greenleaf, who's watching that show?
Oh, you know I'm watching it.
I love it.
You know I'm watching it.
Okay, so the episode where it's a man and a wife, just had a child, and the husband had been dealing with issues of having an attraction towards men.
Yes.
He hasn't acted on it or anything.
Correct.
But it was so mind-boggling to him that he had to express it with his wife, and he wants help. So this is like the third episode now, and she's just saying to this point she can't get over it.
Right.
She don't want to move forward.
That's what she said
last
night.
It's over. Like, she can't do it. Like, he tried to be intimate with her, and mentally she just can't do it, knowing that he has an attraction for men, even though he hasn't acted on it. How would y'all feel about that? Do you agree with her decision?
I agree with whatever makes her comfortable. You know what I mean? I think, just throw it all away, had a baby. I think if that's what she felt that she needed to do, then that's what she should have done.
No counseling, no giving them a chance or nothing. Just, I can't do this.
Well,
he hasn't acted on it. He has not been with any
men. Yeah, but it's in his mind,
though. My thing is, why did he tell her now?
Because it was...
Honesty.
Yeah, but if he's not acting upon it,
yeah,
keep it to yourself.
Well,
he didn't know how to... It was like he was online or something looking at stuff and she, you know, what you doing?
Well, he had changed and she noticed a change in him.
Yeah, before they even had that baby.
Right. Well, he was kind of pulling away because he was feeling so guilty about his feelings that he was pulling away from her, and she thought he was having an affair
with a woman
or something. But he had to tell her, look, I'm not having an affair. This is what I'm dealing with.
I mean, and he reached out to her. He said, look, I want you, like, he's going to these meetings, like, to, like, decrease your urges or whatever, to take your mind off it or whatever. And she don't want to participate in nothing. She don't want to hear anything.
Pray the gay away. And you know those things.
Okay, now, first of all, she needs to find out what exactly he wants to do.
He loves her. He wants to be with his wife. But he couldn't.
Yeah, but he got to face his desires.
Well, that's what he's doing, but he wanted... her, that's just like an alcoholic, and you want your support system should be your spouse, you know.
Yeah, but alcoholism and sexuality is the way is different.
Yeah, that's different.
Because how does she look at him now? You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to tell you what I think it is. I think it's, when you with me, who are you thinking about?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you thinking about a man?
And I'm thinking, you can be with me tonight, and then there's a possibility of a chance that a man can walk by
you
tomorrow, and you can turn around and follow that man.
I
wouldn't want to be in a situation like that.
I just feel like, I understand her.
It brings on insecurity.
Yeah. Well, that's the same way as if he was saying he had desire to be with another woman.
I wouldn't want to be in a situation like that, too.
But I would say I understand her being comfortable, but she chose not to have any type of discussion after the point he revealed that to. Now, I don't think that's fair.
Well, she tried. Because remember, he moved back into the house. Because remember, she had told him he had to leave.
Okay, so how all of a sudden she's so googly-eyed with this this producer guy?
Because he's a man, you know. In her mind,
she felt like her husband was a man. So you don't
know until he told her,
exactly,
I have a sexual attraction to other men. See,
I
can understand her to an extent. I understand her. How in the world can you tell me that you desire, you have sexual desires for a man, and you married to me?
Well, he didn't say sexual desires.
Same soup, just warmed over.
You had these desires before you married me. They didn't just pop on you overnight.
Well, see, she
had to beg him to, let's get pregnant, let's have a child.
Well, what about that mama?
He should have stayed away from me and not married me.
I think she knew. Well, we got to get out of here. That is all the time that we have for tonight. I want to thank Miss Bassey for coming by
and
sharing with us. We'll see you next time. Bye for now. Crashes all around, trying to wear me.